That was nice. Good morning, and thank you for joining this morning. I'm currently Banand, I'm the group program manager on the team which builds the Azure management, monitoring, portal, billing, and the UI stack. And so, you know, we're going to spend the next 1 hour broken down into two different sections. Let's do a quick 20-minute overview of just the overall management approach to Windows Azure, especially if you're moving to cloud and you know, trying to figure out what the overall strategy should be for how you think about management all up in Azure. We're going to spend a little bit of time into that and then spend the second half of the presentation going deep into monitoring and DevOps. So, but before I get started, I want to make sure, you know, I make this relevant to you guys. So quick show of hands, how many of you use Azure regularly? Great. And how many of you are just exploring Azure slowly? Good. So it's a half and half. So we're going to I'll try to, you know, start with level 100, then go a little deeper. Second quick question, anyone here who uses System Center? Oh, great, okay. So then I'll try to spend a little bit of time talking about the System Center and Windows Azure Better Together story as well, so we can, you know, approach how to look at Windows Azure from a lens of enterprise management as well. So with that background, pretty sure, you know, you've seen this slide or similar slides. To think of Windows Azure, essentially it's your data center running in the public cloud hosted by Microsoft and managed by Microsoft. It gives you a couple of different ways to run your applications. You can bring your existing applications that run on-premises on your servers, and you can just use virtual machines and host them in as-is. So it's a lift and bring it, we'll run it scenario. Or you can build new applications specifically targeted to the cloud architecture and cloud scale, and that's what we call the cloud services. These are elastically scalable applications written with the, you know, the architecture of a cloud in mind, which is stateless compute, and data is externalized to either SQL or a blob storage so that you can elastically increase and decrease the compute capacity. And third, of course, is the availability of websites. These are traditional websites that you're used to running on premises, but you can run them in Azure and run them at scale, and we manage the entire stack for you. In addition to providing these three, and there's a fourth one, which is mobile services, fully managed backend for running mobile applications, which can connect to iOS, Android, or Windows Phone devices. In addition to these core compute capabilities, ways to run the applications, Azure also offers a whole bunch of different building blocks. So there are services that you can use off the shelf, be it caching or a database or storage, CDN, networking. Think of these as building block services, which you don't have to deploy or manage or care about. We run them on behalf of you. You get a dedicated instance that you can go use and then assemble your application or augment it using any one of these. And it's important to call out the difference between the core compute services like virtual machines, websites, and cloud services and mobile, and these application building blocks, because in first case, you really have to think about how you're going to manage and monitor those, because that's where your code runs. In the case of application building blocks, those are mostly heavily managed PaaS services that you don't have to worry as much about. So, but of course, even you have to look at things like health, but you don't have to terribly worry about your code running, how to scale it, how to manage it. We do it for you. So that, you know, keep that context in mind as we go through the rest of the slides and see some demos as well. Especially if you're building an all-up strategy for thinking how to think about cloud infrastructure and what does it mean from a management and total cost of ownership perspective, you have to, you know, contrast it with the world we all used to. On-premises, in your own data center, whether it's colo and it's hosted somewhere else or you manage it, you own the entire stack, right from the networking hardware, the physical hardware for the servers, the virtualization stack, OS, and all the, you know, all the way up to the application is your responsibility, which means you need to go wire, configure, and monitor every layer of that stack, and you have to build a strategy around that. In Azure, let's contrast that on things that you have to worry about and things that the platform does for you. And that answer varies depending on which compute stack you choose. So this contrast is important to understand that if you're picking something like virtual machines, of course, you don't have to deal with any of the hardware or virtualization stack, but everything upwards from the operating system is still something that you have to go think about in your monitoring and management strategy. Versus if you were to go deal with something like cloud services, which is another layer of abstraction, you don't have to think about the operating system, patching it, or maintaining it. We take care of it automatically for you. And as you move up the stack and you're using higher and higher level PaaS services, like websites or mobile services, you don't have to worry about a lot of the other pieces in the stack, like the firewall rules, the load balancer, things like, hey, how does networking happen? Those are things all automatically managed for you. So it's important to know, you know, which pieces of Azure that you're opting in to go use. And if you use all of them, then it's a hybrid strategy to worry about on which pieces you need to go manage and monitor as well. So this slide typically helps us frame, you know, things that you own and things we need to worry about. And it's essentially, it's a degree of either you have a lot of control, which you, in case you own the whole stack, but of course, with that comes the responsibility of managing that stack as well. Or you can focus purely on your code and application and let the Azure platform run the application on your behalf. So with that as a top-level framing, let's just go quickly look at what the management approach and access mechanisms are. So we talked about, you know, these different services that are available. One of the things we've done across the whole platform, we've standardized on having a standard set of management REST APIs. So every service in Azure that we offer a corresponding set of management REST APIs, which give you a platform-agnostic access to all the functionality that we offer. And hence, whether you're sitting on a Windows box or a Mac or a Linux, or actually in most cases, even if you're accessing a browser from a phone, it would just work. All you need are a set of credentials. Either you can use a Microsoft account, or you can use an organizational account if you want a more fine-grained two-factor auth and security. And that access gives you ability to connect using a browser through the management portal. There's a full PowerShell and cross-plat access as well. So you can automate, you can script, and if you don't, you're not one of those who prefers, you know, click through GUI, you can actually completely script out the whole thing regardless, again, of the platform. And then we're going to touch about a whole bunch of third-party tools, including tools from Microsoft itself, which is a System Center family. And they access and can manage and help you monitor your Windows Azure services and applications as well. So the good thing is, think about it as there's one uniform API. If you, at any point, you feel that you need more control than what the UI gives you or what the tools give you, you can always go script it directly at the API level. And there's no lock-in in any shape or form of that API being, you know, Microsoft proprietary. It's a standard REST API. As long as you're on any device in the world which can talk HTTP, you can pretty much control your Azure platform. So I usually not a big slides guy, so I want to switch over and actually give you a very quick walkthrough of the Windows Azure portal and story. Wow, something happened with the resolution. So what you're looking at is the Windows Azure Management Portal. When you sign up for Windows Azure, and you have an option to, you know, signing up for a free trial, which is what we typically recommend everyone getting started with, as of the keynote announcement on Tuesday or Monday, you know, when you start, you get a $200 free trial credit amount to go start with. And there are two different portals that you're either your account administrators or your management admins will go look at. And that's one thing to think about. You can, and you should, separate out the people who manage the accounts and the billing and the financial parts of how they manage Azure from people who do day-to-day management of, is my database up, is my VM up or not. So what we've done is we've also separated out the accounts management experience from the actual monitoring and management experience. And what we're looking at is the experience that the billing or a purchase admin would typically have in Azure. And here I can see the list of all the subscriptions that I've purchased from Microsoft. And I can drill down and go start looking at details of how much each subscription's using, when the next bill is. So for example, I'll drill into one of the MSDN subscriptions. Any of you MSDN members? Oh, awesome. So if you're an MSDN member and you're not using Azure, you're pretty much giving that money away for free because you're entitled to $150 a month of free usage every month and month and month till you have the subscription. So it's, you know, think of these as server sitting somewhere in the cloud and you're not using them. So this management portal essentially gives you, you know, within the day access to how much you've used across all the services. You can download all these details into a CSV file, and you can do your own billing on behalf. For example, if you're running central IT or you're running IT on behalf of other customers, you can download usage, and you don't have to worry about giving them access to this portal. You can go run your own markup on this and run your reports. So this is the billing portal. I'm going to switch over to showing you what the management experience once you are up and running looks like. So this is standard HTML, CSS. Again, cross-browser, cross-platform, so you're not necessarily tied into a set of devices which you can access Azure from. You can start from wherever. On the left-hand side, you see all the services that Azure offers, and you can pick and choose and create new services through the management portal. I'm pretty sure for folks who are familiar with Azure, this sounds like fairly obvious, but you know, creating a VM is as simple as giving a name. So this is my tech demo one. You pick the image-based type that you care about, everything from Windows to Linux, and different flavors of this, including BizTalk and SQL pre-provision for you. And you can pick the size, give a username and password, and you're done. One of the other things interesting here is when you're looking at placement, Windows Azure offers you, you know, multiple data centers across the world. You can do load balancing across data centers using Traffic Manager, but do think about where you want your compute to be placed so that it's closest to your end customers from a latency and access perspective. So once you've created an asset, Windows Azure provides you a uniform way of looking at each of those things. So for example, I'm looking at a virtual machine that I just stood up before we started a demo. And out of box, without writing any code or anything, you get access to a standard dashboard view, which pulls everything from your quota. So every subscription comes with the quota limits so that you don't get a $10,000 bill at the end of the month without expecting it accidentally. So there are quota limits. You can see information like what the health is, the standards, the number of disks. And more importantly, we have plumbed basic monitoring natively into Azure, so you don't have to do anything special to go deploy any management packs or any health. So information like CPU, disks, disk write, read write network, these statistics and these metrics are out of the box and for free. You don't have to do anything to go use them or access them. In addition to that, and we'll go deeper into it in the monitoring section, there's a whole bunch of monitoring statistics that are available for you to do a deep dive and drill in when you need to as well. So much like virtual machines, if you're accessing websites, you will have a very similar experience as well, where you get a dashboard, you get to see how many requests per second I'm getting. I can do configuration. I can do, so for example, this is my personal blog that I host on Azure, and you can quickly see what my traffic patterns are when the CPU goes up, down. And this gives you quick glance of things to have to worry about in case things are going red. And also, the management portal gives you full access to doing configuration, scaling, scale up. You can click instances. So this is all hopefully fairly standard for folks who've been using Azure, but just want to do a quick walkthrough for folks who haven't been using it as frequently. So for the developers in the house, you get full web config, app config editing right through the portal as well, so you don't necessarily have to go use Visual Studio when all you want to do is quickly change the configuration or the background color of your page, because it's all exposed directly through the config file in the portal itself. One of the other things and one of the best practices that we usually like to talk about is this whole area for managing the settings and configuration about your Azure subscriptions. So three things to think about. For human access, you use access using Live ID or organization ID, which is what prompts you to log in, and you do that. But when you want to automate actions and you want to do scripting, Azure accepts 5019 certs, so you can actually have management certificates that you can upload, or we can automatically generate for you. And these are the management certificates that you will need if you're trying to access using System Center or third-party tool, or you're trying to do any automation scripting. Managing these certs is very critical, because anyone who has access to these certs has access to your entire subscription, which means they can either delete stuff or they can actually generate pretty heavy-duty bills for you in case they can come and scale stuff up. So so it's management certificates is an interesting thing to go look at and worry about when you're doing your planning on, especially for automation and tools. The second thing to think about is the notion of administrators and co-admins. Windows Azure allows you to add up to 10 users for free per subscription. So if you're working with a customer or partner or within your own team for collaboration, you can keep adding more and more co-administrators, and you can give them access at the subscription level. So from a access control and security perspective, one of the things to think about is who owns it, who are the admins. This is still different than people who can do purchase and billing. This is purely management operations. But something to think about, these are administrators who have full read-write access to your entire subscription. Other than that, if you don't trust the people you work with, we do give you some operation logging out of the box. What this does is it gives you a very quick query on the operations that were done through the portal, through command line, or through a certain set of tools. And we maintain a history of up to a month out of the box. So you can query per subscription during a window on how many people did what operations. So for example, and you can, of course, download these as well. So you can actually figure out who created a service, who deleted it, when was it updated. So it's a full audit log, if you will, of every operation that happened on your behalf on that subscription, either through UI or through command line or through portal. Before we get into monitoring side of things, one other quick thing I want to talk to you about is Windows Azure. What we're looking at was the Azure portal site, but we also have a whole bunch of command line tools and PowerShell scripts available for you to do automation. So if you go to windowsazure.com, in the download section, you'll get three options to go download. One is the PowerShell, which is hopefully what most folks here are probably familiar with. But in addition to that, there is a Node.js-based cross-platform command line scripting tools as well, which lets you access all your Windows Azure assets from Mac or Linux devices as well. So if you're dealing with hybrid environments, if you're dealing with customers who may or may not have access to Windows boxes, you can run a full scripting and automation from those platforms as well using the cross-platform command lines. So here I actually have both the windows open. On your left is the cross-plat set of tools. So this gives you a list of all the things you can actually automate in Azure, be from websites to storage to creating virtual machines through a very, very simple bash-like command line experience. And the only thing I had to do before working on this was I downloaded the management certificate, which I talked about earlier, and I configured it to go use that management certificate so I don't have to keep entering my Hotmail or my LiveID password every time I have to do an operation. On your right-hand side, you're seeing something similar. This is a PowerShell window, and I can, the same way I got the health of the virtual machine through the UI, I can run a get Azure VM command, and all it's doing is it's working on my behalf using my management certificate against the subscription I've created, and it gets a list of all the virtual machines. Similarly, I can get the list of websites and cloud services, and you can do pretty fancy operations like do a rolling upgrade, start, stop. So if you have a fixed time window and you need to automate operations, that's a great way to go do automation and scripting using PowerShell. So just wanted to give you a 1,000-foot view of all the management surface area for Azure before we go look a little deeper on how this actually all works. So, alrighty. So what you just saw were three set of tools. We haven't talked about third-party tools yet. We'll get into that in a minute. First thing is the Unified Management Portal. It's an HTML-based experience, so you can access it from any device. We do optimize it for tablets as well, and it does work on phone, though it's not the best experience to go do that scale management. But more than once, I've actually logged on using my phone and been able to start or stop a VM or a website, and that actually works just all right. But on an iPad or a Surface, it would just works beautifully. And the management portal accesses all the UI that you just saw, configuration, scale, everything is accessed through a publicly exposed set of REST APIs. So everything that we can do in the management portal the small asterisks of features which are still in preview. Everything you can go build directly as well using the REST APIs. And that's very, very important, especially when you're dealing with hybrid accounts or you're going into accounts like with enterprises where you need to go plug in as your management into an existing tool set of doing monitoring and management. For example, if somebody uses TSM or other tools, you can easily script at the PowerShell level or directly at the API level, depending whether you're building custom solutions for them or you're building just automation using PowerShell. The way we built it, and that's the other thing, the PowerShell and the command line code is open sourced. It's available on GitHub. So you can go see how we've implemented all the automation and tools on top of our own APIs. And in fact, it's open source, so you can actually make contributions. We'll be happy to go take your enhancements in as well. But we really, really want to always keep the platform open and accessible for all users of all platforms. So that API is the contract that we sign up between Azure customers and Azure, which is we'll keep that API open always and accessible from all platforms, so you don't ever feel that you're locked in into how the features of the portal necessarily or the UI works to constrain you. Under the API is essentially two big buckets. One is the application manager, which lets you do all the management operations per resource or on a group of resources. In parallel to that is the notion of billing, and billing is separated from application management for reasons I talked about earlier, where you don't want people who can create and delete databases to also go sign up for a $1 million commitment on Azure. Two separate operations, two separate set of credentials. So billing is separated out from application management from an API perspective as well. And monitoring is another top-level API that we provide. And the benefit of monitoring API is that you can actually have a different role. People who only do network operations center management and monitoring to go use a monitoring set of APIs or tools to do day-to-day operational updates on your services. And then there's a notion of marketplace, which we won't get into this session, is this third-party store where you can actually get a whole bunch of pretty fancy management and monitoring tools like New Relic or AppDynamics, which can give you insights into your application in the code itself at the level of line of code and where the performance is working, not working. But that's a level of detail we'll save for a different session. But under the App Manager, that's the part we're going to focus on, all services in Azure, and that's a standardized set of APIs and contracts we hold the entire platform to expose everything from deployment, provisioning, monitoring, configuration, scaling, and it's tied to usage. So you can have the entire surface area that we have access to directly as well for building your own solutions if you're not just using the stuff that's out of the box. So with that, just the overview of the management approach and strategy and how the architecture works, I want to focus the remaining part of the session into actual monitoring and DevOps. DevOps is a very, it's a relatively new term, but we're frequently used where, the delta between the person who's actually building and deploying the code and the person who's operating and managing it is blurring pretty quickly. So the same sort of people who are doing live site, if you're running a large-scale service, you don't always have a separate operations team, which does operations and opens bugs and tickets against the developers. Increasingly, in addition to IT ops, DevOps gives you access in the same portal for people who want to manage and deploy the code at the same time. And Azure is optimized for both audiences, and you'll see in the next few slides and a few demos that if you have a separate IT, NOC, Network Operations Center, and IT ops, all the richness of the tools and scripting and System Center Operations Manager are available, as well as if you're a DevOps kind of a shop and a smaller startup, and you really, really care about having a quick time to market and a rapid iteration, Azure offers a whole bunch of services and tools around that as well. So before we see more demos on the monitoring side, I want to step back again at a 1,000-foot level, talk about how do we even think about monitoring in the world of cloud? And that typically is the biggest philosophical blocker that we have to deal with when you're talking to most of customers about best practices is the world that we were traditionally used to used to be, a fairly single server or set of servers world where it was a well-known, static environment where you knew the machines. There was a particular set of machines assigned to each application. So you could TS into them. You could put some special tools on those boxes and do it. When you contrast that in a world of cloud where you don't own the infrastructure or you don't have to worry about the hardware, at that point, a lot of the assumptions that we used to make around these are my boxes, I can remote desktop into this machine, I can install special tools on a box, those assumptions fall flat pretty quickly. The second thing is, in addition to being a fairly dynamic environment, which you don't necessarily have traditional access to, is also the notion of having n number of instances for every one instance that you're used to. What that means is, earlier, if you knew I have a web server, serving an application, you knew exactly the two machines that you cared about. So you could set up logging, you could look at the IIS logs. In a world where that web server is spread across hundreds of different machines and hundreds of processes on those machines, the notions of IIS logs on that box goes away. So the notion of separating the state between this machine and the application is very, very critical. And that's essentially important when you're building net new applications or you're building surround applications for existing ones, is to think about how to separate out what used to be at the machine level and what is at the application level. Without that separation, it's really, really hard for you to be effective in doing troubleshooting and logging and monitoring in a cloud application or a cloud world. And that is typically the first challenge most customers have when they're building a net new cloud application. The troubleshooting becomes really hard because you will not always have full remote desktop access if you're building a mobile service or a web server or website. So that's one thing to think about. That machine is, or your application runs on hundreds of different nodes. It's virtualized. And all that really you have access to is your application and your application's output. So it becomes extremely critical to figure out what you trace, what you write to logs, and what you rely on the machine logs to do for you. So that, from that small philosophy session, let's go look into deep principles itself and how Windows Azure monitoring solutions itself are available out of the box. So our goal is to reduce your time to both market as well as time to resolve an issue when it happens. So certain things like performance counters or getting logs, application logs, or doing availability monitoring, all these are available out of the box with a few clicks as possible. In some cases, it's just zero configuration. We just enable it. So you don't have to ever think about whether your developer looked at the CPU, memory, network statistics. I mean, those are things you don't have to worry about. We automatically will give it to you. We've plumbed the entire infrastructure to go collect those metrics on your behalf. So you don't have to think about that. At the same time, there are certain things which are specific to your application. Let's take a simple one where you have a shopping cart where people keep coming, checking out, buying. In an application like that, it still is the developer's responsibility to go trace out or write the logs around or write the performance counters on business-level metrics. For example, if you need to real-time, understand how many orders am I processing, that code either can go look at the queue length or queue depth, but that's fine. The other option is you can actually instrument using custom performance counters. And that's something that Windows Azure offers, both through an SDK and through the application logs, is the ability to not just have access to the performance counters and logs that we give you for free for out of the box. You can also instrument your own code to emit more metrics, more logs, more traces. And we give you access to those custom metrics and business level metrics, again, through the same set of APIs and tools. So you don't have to necessarily use a different set of tools for metrics that you wrote versus the platform. It's all accessible through the same set of APIs and same set of tools, whether you're writing your own business level metrics or you're trying to access the performance counters that the platform gives you. And the second philosophy, that apart from zero config, let's get you started quickly, is increasingly we're trying to get every tool that you're used to today to work with Azure. And that's one of the biggest areas of investment across the whole platform for the last 9 to 12 months has been to make sure that the ecosystem of tools that exist today for your on-premises world, that they very quickly adapt to go work well in the Azure world. So certain things like Microsoft's own tools like PowerShell and System Center. I'll go talk about that in a minute. Have been upgraded and updated to go work with all the new Windows Azure services. And it's a pretty tough thing to catch up on, because at the speed at which Windows Azure services get added, it's super hard for the System Center team to keep up building management packs. But that's a goal that, you know, we promised ourselves that we'll try to keep making sure that your investments in those tool sets continue to accrue value when you sign up for more and more Windows Azure services. At the same time, with every update of every release of a new service in Azure, for example, we announced BizTalk services at the keynote day before. Every service that we release, we do ensure that they actually have all the same APIs, same logging, same scaling done before they can even release a preview of a service. Forget about going general availability. So that's a bar and a promise that we keep to make sure that you're never in a situation where you're not able to use your existing set of tools or automation and policies against the ever-increasing set of Azure services. So that's what we want you to think about is you can either use the Windows Azure Management Portal as one pane of glass, or you can use your System Center set of tools as one pane of glass, or you can custom build a third one on your own. And in all those cases, we guarantee the set of APIs and things that consistently work across all the services we offer. I'm going to go a little deep into two specific technologies. One is the websites. So if you're building web applications and hosting them on Azure, and how to think about doing troubleshooting and diagnostics, especially from a DevOps perspective, in case of both websites and in case of cloud services, which are net new applications that you will go probably build for Azure. In case of virtual machines, all your existing technologies and methods and mechanisms work because the VM is exactly the same VM you ran on premises. So whatever tools work for you there will continue to work in Azure as well. So we'll focus the next two quick slides to talk about the new application that you will build either using websites or cloud services and how to think about diagnostics and monitoring in that context. So in case of websites, it's a fully managed PaaS service, so you have no access and think about you never have to think about the machines or the web servers or the web stack that's running on those machines. So monitoring whether I have the right PHP version or .NET version or my load balancer rules or firewall rules, that's nothing that you have to ever worry about. What you have to worry about is my application is designed for scale out. Am I consuming too much CPU? Am I consuming too much memory? Am I within my quotas, or am I, in a deadlock? Those are things that you would typically worry about. And for websites, we give you access to both the application logs and as well as the IIS logs available for the website, for the web application, right through the portal itself. I'm going to switch to a quick demo and show you that as well. In addition to that, we give you full FTP access to that website, so you can actually download those logs and run whatever favorite log analysis tool that you have. So if you really want to do business analytics on top of it, all the logs that we have access to in the backend for your application, ring-fenced only to your application, so you cannot look at other customers' data, are available to you as well through FTP, so you can actually get gigabytes and gigabytes of logs if you need to go do richer diagnostics in case of error. And I'll talk about a third feature we recently added, is the ability to go look at live logs. So you have a website that's running, and I'm going to show that in a minute. You can actually connect to that website from your console and start seeing live traces and logs as people are accessing it. So that's a capability that we can offer in Azure, and it didn't really, it was a lot harder to do it in an on-premises world because you can always connect to the servers over a cloud internet connection, and it just works. So those are certain unique capabilities available in Azure to do real-time troubleshooting and diagnosability using just simple HTTP and browser. Real quick, on the cloud services side, these are more heavy-duty PaaS applications that you would go build for building line of business applications and gives you, access to both Java or .NET stacks, so it's not restricted to Windows. In this case, there's a very, very rich Windows Azure diagnostics toolkit that we ship with the platform, and that lets you inject whatever application-specific logs, performance counters, metrics that you need to go log. And so if you think of if you're building a simple CRM system or you're building a payroll processing system, this is a classic architecture you'll go build it at. You can actually instrument your code to emit whatever level of metrics you want. and all of them across all your machines get automatically synthesized into one single storage repository. So that's the promise of the Windows Azure Diagnostics Toolkit. It's a simple SDK, which will be part of your code that your developers will deploy, and then rest of the Azure infrastructure kicks in. It collects all the logs from all the machines, whether you're running on 5 instances or 50 instances or 500 instances, or you're running across data centers. We collect all those logs into the same schema, synthesize it, aggregate it, and give it to you for access, both using your APIs as well as the UI. So let me show you a quick demo of that before I go into more enterprise IT ops world. So back to the Windows Azure portal. So one of the things I was talking about is the cloud services. So I have a very simple cloud service which does order processing. So I've deployed this, and what you're seeing here is that out of the box, I didn't write any code for this or had anything fancy. The metrics around last 1 hour, last 24 hours, up to last 7 days of history is available, so I can start tracking trends. For example, hey, my weekend I get spikes. Most people are shopping over the weekend, for example. So certain things like basic CPU metrics, you don't have to worry about that. In the on-premises world, you had to go deploy a management pack even to get that basic health. In this case, there's no cost for it. It's free. And you get this out of the box, and we take care of plumbing this end-to-end for you. Now, of course, this is not sufficient if you're trying to do detailed troubleshooting or trying to diagnose an error. So what you're seeing here is ability to not just go look at those metrics, but see all the possible metrics that we collect across all the 500 instances available and aggregate it for you. So this is a view where you can not just see CPU for the entire service aggregated, but you can go down to every single instance and seeing if one instance is misbehaving or not. And all I have to do there is pick certain instances in here. I really want to see instance one. I want to see if I'm having high disk latency. And most importantly, and this part I want to focus on, here's an example of a custom performance counter. So when you're building a business application, you can instrument your own code that says, I not only want to see how CPU is behaving, but I want to see how many orders am I processing at a business level, because typically order processing will be a multi-machine job. And you can instrument that code, and you will start seeing the same metrics, even the one the platform gives you, the one that comes from the operating system or the application stack, as well as the ones that your developers or you've coded to go emit, and you can see them all aggregated in the same view. So here I'm actually seeing the response time of the application CPU and also the custom performance counters on how many orders are processed. So this level of control is available natively through the management portal itself, so you can use it both for monitoring as well as for deep diagnosability as well. Now, that's the world of cloud services. In the case of websites, it gets even more interesting. I have no idea what that noise is. There's a notion of not just looking at the health of the website, but also, I think this was probably 2 months ago, we announced the availability of endpoint monitoring. So we've got these data centers outside of Azure data centers to go and ping your service periodically. So that even if we think that within Azure everything is all good, and from outside of Azure your customers might be experiencing issues, there's a whole notion of configure the endpoint to be hit. So you can set up a regular ping, if you will, of your web endpoint and saying keep checking whether your website is up or not. So when you configure this, of course, I need to upgrade this first. And I want to come back to it in a second. Actually, let me come back to a second because I need to upgrade this. Right. This is the same example that you can set up endpoint monitoring, not just for websites, but also for virtual machines and pretty much any compute service that you run here. So in this case, I set up a shopping web machine, and it says that the ping service tried to check at 8:55 this morning, and it has an error. And what this tells you is that you had configured certain places like Amsterdam and Chicago to go ping your virtual machines or your app periodically. It tries to ping it every 5 minutes, and at 8:55 when it last tried to ping your application from Chicago, it was not able to access it. So right in the dashboard, you're able to see your outside the data center health of the application as well, in addition to seeing how your code and application is running. So you get a 360-degree view of not just what's in the app, but also how your customers are seeing from a latency and an availability perspective from outside. So you can go look at detailed results. You can try to look at results from different locations. So it's possible that your customers in Europe are not able to access, while your customers in US are able to access, which might tell you other things about how your DNS and traffic management policies are done. So that's an example of out-of-the-box configuration available to go set up these richer 360-degree monitoring services in the platform itself. So the question was, I'll repeat the question for the recording, but the question was, is there any alerting, or do I have to come to the portal? So we typically don't do this, but the feature is very near to being available. I cannot talk to you about the date right now because I have Claire looking at me, and it's like, you can talk about it. But short answer, not today, but very soon, you'll be able to configure an alert so that you don't even have to come to the management portal. You'll get paged as soon as your website goes down. And not just website, if your virtual machine, your cloud service, you'll get notified on your email as soon as any of the rules, either around latency or around availability, is violated. So yes, it will be there soon. So this was announced day before yesterday. So you can secure every endpoint using an SSL certificate. So you have full IPSSL and a SNIA-based security for your websites. For your virtual machines, you can deploy whatever endpoint security you want. And that's what it'll ping it with. So whatever cert you use, you have to give the cert to the certificate service to go ping it with. So this is available for websites on the reserve tier. The free tier, of course, does not have the secure website endpoint support. That's one more question. So the question was, is this capability available for web roles and worker roles? Yes, it's available for all compute, whether you use virtual machines, web roles, worker roles, websites, and even for mobile services. So if you're running mobile compute, it's available for all compute endpoints. Anything that exposes a web endpoint, we will allow you to configure that to ping it at a certain frequency and from multiple locations. Did you have a question back there? All right. So now that I've already pre-disclosed the alerting and notification feature, let me spend 2 more minutes talking about it. So essentially, the point is more and more, so we have third-party stores and features like PagerDuty and SendGrid. So you can configure sending emails out, but also natively through the platform, you'll be able to set alerts and notifications pretty soon. So you can set certain rules on when CPU is greater than 45% for the last 10 straight minutes, send me an email. Or if the CPU is higher and I have only 3 instances running, send me an email. So you'll have pretty rich out-of-the-box alerting and notification feature as well, so to augment the availability monitoring that comes out of the box. So lost my chain of thought, what I was talking about. Oh, yes. So sorry, I wanted to get into the website and talk about. So here's an example of a website that's been running for a while. And in this case, it checked at 9 a.m., which was 2 minutes ago. Oh, sorry, I'm on Pacific time on my computer. And it says, hey, I tried pinging your home page, and that was healthy. But if I really want to go deep into looking at how my logs are for the website, I can actually, using FTP, connect to the website log and start downloading all the diagnostics logs. So for each site, Same thing is available for mobile services as well. You can actually download all the diagnostic logs, which the application is emitting, and we scrape out all machine-specific stuff that you don't have to worry about. So this is logs restricted and cleaned out and pruned across all instances only to your application code and logic. So that's one. The other thing definitely worth looking at real quick is we talked about, let me shorten the window. So we talked about the ability to tail or to look at live logs. So for example, I have another website here, And this website is a very, very simple site that I've deployed, simple MVC, I think it's MVC 4, and it has a simple controller. That's the website. Now, think of this. Think of a situation where I'm still building and debugging this website. And one of the things I can do is using the command line script, I can actually attach a live logging and a remote logging capability so I can see how the site is behaving real time. So what I'm going to do here real quick is switch machines for a second. And come back to this. So, sorry, I had to copy my security key. So it's kind of hard to do it on a screen and type a password. So, what I'm going to do is, what I've done here is, using the command line, I'm setting Azure. So, giving a command that says, "Hey, Azure site, start logging and tail the last n number of." Actions or trace logs that come out of it on this website called the Diagnostics Web. So I have this website, and I'm going to go look at the activity on this. What this does is it takes my machine and it connects remotely anywhere in the world to that website so that you can start seeing the log stream in the service. Now, every time I, let me split this, every time I refresh this, I've instrumented that says, hey, my homepage access will come out. So you start seeing those traces coming out real time. Now, if a user, I'm going to try to simulate an error here. In this case, every time an error gets generated, I've written an error trace out to the trace file. And what this thing is doing is in real time, it's picking up the traces from the trace log. So you can either set up a live monitor on this, so if you have like real-time operations, and or you can actually go set up alerts on top of this as well. So you can say, hey, you know, this last n set of logs that are hitting the site. Of course, you would not try to do this for a production site hitting 10 million requests a day. You'll bring this whole thing down pretty quickly. But when you're in a simple debug mode, or if you're still scaling up a service, you can start hitting the traces and start seeing live information on how my application is behaving. So this is typically useful for your standard debugging. In a dev test mode, but you can also use this against production if you want to, but you have to worry about looking at the volume of logs that you're going to start downloading. There's a question there. It's a debug level. So a debug level by default is at warning. You can set it as information as well, but then there'll be a lot of logs. So in this case, good question. In this case, I've actually set it the debug level to information. So even the access to the page is logged. So it's not only at warning. So this gives you the ability to go spit out custom traces as well. So if you really wanted to go put traces that says, hey, if I see an order greater than $1 million, emit a trace as well, you could go do it using that as well, the information level. So talks about the most detailed DevOps thing you would typically worry about. So we quickly touched about availability monitoring, basic CPU, performance health counters, the ability to go do all of that through the PowerShell and command line tools as well. So that, with that, I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about how and what we're doing on the enterprise side to give you the same richness, but using a tool set that you're already familiar with. So System Center team's been working hard on keeping up with the set of, both across its deployment and as well as operations management tools to keep it in sync with all the services that got released in Azure. So at a 1,000-foot level, System Center is a flagship way of doing end-to-end provisioning, deployment, monitoring. And for virtual machine stack, it's because it's identical in Azure and on-premises, your VM deployment would work just as is. But in addition to that, for worker roles and web roles, PaaS services, System Center has been updated with the new management pack to give you both richer health information, topology views, multi-machine template deployments, as well as being able to go look at those logs at that scale and give you health and alerts and notifications. So if you already have an alerting and notification infrastructure or a service management infrastructure available with System Center on-premises, you don't even have to wait for that feature we just talked about. You can actually plumb all of that using the new management pack available for Windows Azure. A couple of things it lets you do. It lets you configure the whole deployment for alerts and thresholds, as well as actual config setting. It supports IaaS, the virtual machine service. It supports cloud services. It supports storage. And it helps you look at other things we talked about earlier, like how many management certificates I have, if any one of them is expiring. That's one of the things. If you've set up an automation, it's very important for you to know that my automation is going to break in case my certificate is about to expire. We have particularly good experience with certificates expiring in Azure. I'm not sure how many of you are aware of the outage we had a while back. But yes, I wish we had a System Center pack monitoring the fact that certificates are going to get expired. Of course, in our case, it's like hundreds of thousands of certificates. It gets a little hard. But yeah, this feature was definitely heavily influenced with that outage. But in addition to that, there are a couple of deployment tools available as well with System Center. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Application Manager add-on available with System Center Virtual Machine Management. That lets you deploy same virtual machines to Azure. That lets you deploy on-premises as well. And then there's a whole bunch of views available for dashboards. So you can actually look at it from an availability perspective, the feature we talked about from a topology perspective. And because Azure is a multi-geo thing, deployment infrastructure, you can also look at it from a vicinity or a latency from an actual geo perspective as well. And that gives you a good perspective when you're trying to monitor applications which span multiple data centers or are deployed multiple data centers for different geographies. So all those views are now available. The management pack is in preview. It was announced at MMS last month. So we would love to have you try this out and play with it and give us feedback. For the roadmap perspective, if you see the list of services here, certain services like websites and mobile services are not yet supported through the management pack, but that's on the roadmap on making sure all the other services, even the high-level PaaS services, are supported natively through System Center. My last and favorite topic, auto-scaling. So one of the things that one of the problems, sorry, there's a question here. So the question is, can you use Windows Intune to... So Windows Intune is heavily optimized for desktop management today. So, in fact, the level of capabilities that Intune has, we've already baked most of that level of monitoring natively into the Azure portal. So you shouldn't have to buy anything else at all. But if you want something slightly richer, but you're not ready to go deploy your entire System Center stack yourself, there are a couple of very good options, and at every opportunity of switching back to demo, I'll always switch back to demo. So one of the things you can do is the Windows Azure Store has, so we have some couple of very deep partnerships with vendors providing management as a service, so you don't have to deploy any infrastructure of your own. So for example, New Relic and AppDynamics are two industry-leading solutions to do everything from machine-level management to application-level management. And all you're doing in this case is you are setting up, all you do is you purchase an endpoint, and all of them have a free offering as well. So you can start with a lightweight tier for free and point it to any application. And I'm going to give it a quick name. Yep, that works. And in this case, I'm just going to buy the free tier. And what this does is it configures a service on AppDynamics' side and gives you an endpoint and a management portal while it's provisioning. Like, for example, I'll show you a New Relic that was already deployed, managed. You can go into their portal and think of this as System Center running as a service. So you have no infrastructure to manage or worry about. But it does require an agent that you will deploy on your application from New Relic. But with this, they have multiple tiers, so if you want an Intune level of management, that's for free. If you want anything richer, which you can do performance analysis, scalability analysis, that becomes a paid tier. But that's a great partnership that we have with all those providers to give you a free tier if you're an Azure customer. So that might solve your Intune equivalent one. So real quick, on autoscaling, a couple of quick comments here. In the traditional world of virtual machines, you will not terribly worry about autoscaling because your applications were never designed to be autoscaled. But if you're building cloud services or websites or mobile services, especially with the high variation of mobile loads or social loads, autoscaling becomes a very critical part of the component of your application. And that's one of the things that Azure provides today using a code block. So we ship something called the Enterprise Application Library. So you can include that code into your application, and it listens itself for the the Azure diagnostics updates and performance counters. And the code itself kicks in autoscaling. So for example, if your code has both a time block that says, hey, 5 p.m., go automatically scale, it'll be able to call itself and start scaling the number of instances. You can also do it based on load, but the typical thing here is you're adding net new code to your application. And that works great when you're building an application from scratch or you're enhancing an existing application. If you have existing application that you just want to port as is and make them run, then today we have a great solution from AppDynamics. But also earlier this year, Microsoft acquired a company called Metrics Hub. Metrics Hub does business rule level autoscaling. So you can set rules that says, if my CPU is greater than 45%, add two more instances. Or if it's weekend, shut down the 5 instances so it can save money. We're working really hard to offer the Metrics Hub features natively through the platform. But at the same time, you can still go and sign up for a free Metrics Hub service. It's actually completely free right now through the store. So you can set up what's called Active Cloud Monitoring. Or you can use more sophisticated tools like what AppDynamics does for Windows Azure. So one of the things you should really think about from a capacity planning perspective, as well as from your making sure your costs are under control, is to go look at usage and usage history and use tools like Metrics Hub or AppDynamics. Or if you're building an enterprise application from scratch, use the code block to help you do autoscaling so you can actually keep your costs closer to what your customer's load is on the application, as opposed to having to over-provision or under-provision. So with that, I definitely want to leave a bunch of time for questions, but quick shout out to a whole bunch of other partners that do everything from scaling and deployment. So RightScale is a great set of tools that they have to do deployment, updates, and provisioning into Azure. And you can acquire RightScale. They have a special offer for Azure as well. So if you're doing deployment and automation, then OpenLogic and RightScale have a great thing. If you're doing monitoring and either at the machine level, app level, or performance and scalability level, then both AppDynamics and New Relic provide those capabilities through the store. And Metrics Hub and OpsCore helps you do auto scaling as well. So there are a whole bunch of these partners, and we keep growing the partner ecosystem to make sure that any tool sets that you're used to start natively supporting Azure. And in some cases, the tool sets heavily need to be replumbed to go work in the cloud world, which we talked about. But this list keeps growing. So every time I do this, I have to keep changing my slides. We keep adding new and new partners. And I would love to, after this session, hear from you guys on if there are other partners, other tool sets that you use today in your environment, and you would love to have it support Azure. We would love to know what that tool set looks like so we can go start working with those partners as well. So in summary, we've been pretty busy not just building a whole bunch of new services in Azure, but also making sure that the total cost of owning your solution and running an application in Azure is significantly lower than anywhere else you would run it, including on-premises. So hence, a lot of plumbing, a lot of effort's gone into making the out-of-box experience in the UI and the PowerShell and the command line tools work really well, so you don't have to worry about basic plumbing and basic monitoring at all. But you do have to worry about application-level monitoring, and that depends on which compute stack you choose, and that's choice hence. So when you're looking at whether you use VMs or websites, there's a very clear cost differentiation at the management time. It might not seem as apparent at development time, but something worth considering that when you're looking at the overall architecture for the next app you're going to build or migrate, think of it from a perspective of, as your ongoing cost of running the application as opposed to just developing it. And the APIs are available, as well as the PowerShell and the command lines are all open sourced. So you can actually go look at how this is implemented. And I would love to hear feedback on you know, different areas you would like us to continue innovating on. With that, thank you so much for joining. I'll leave the remaining 10 minutes for just Q&A, and I'll be here. So, and also Claire will be here. She can take all questions on how we, you have to pay for this, or if not pay for this, but, and we'd love to hear feedback. But any technical questions, I'm happy to answer after this. Thank you. Oh, yeah, by the way, I said you have to go, if you want an Xbox, you need to go fill out some eval.